So I looked over at the parsha for this week, and I came up with a message that I'm calling Fabulous Phineas. Now, I'm calling it Fabulous Phineas for a couple of reasons. One of which is that I became a fan of a local rock band from the 1970s called the Fabulous Farquhar. And I would just, that title just kind of flowed from my mouth. So the Farquhar did a number of humorous novelty songs, including one about my ex-wife. So Michelle is not as big a fan of this group as I am. And when Michelle heard the title of the drash, I promised her I would not mention the band or the song or my ex-wife. So I'm not going to say a thing about any of those. But the other reason for this drash is that I usually listen to the Daily Devar rather than read it. And Michelle and I will listen to it together. We absorb it and whatnot. It's a big part of our day. Now, the Daily Devar, for those that don't know, is the Bible in a Year reading program that our community does. And while we do have people from outside the community that participate, this is our program. And even though it's a Bible in a Year program, in a typical Jewish fashion, we actually take 2 years to read the entire scriptures. We're not in a hurry. We've done this before. We'll do it again. So we send out links every day, and you can subscribe for these links. We send out the links where you can be told what the portions are. You can actually get a link to listen to the scriptures being read to you. And when you do play the recording and the passages, it will not stop midway through a chapter. So our final portion for Friday was that it started with Numbers 24 and went on to 25, and then it stopped midway through 25. But because I was listening rather than reading, it played all the way through. By the way, if you want to learn more about Daily Devar, there's a website, dailydevar.com. You can get to that from the Ruach Israel website, or you can just ask any of the people around you. Now, how many of the people that are here today do the Daily Devar, participated in it every day? Great. So the wonderful thing about that is that it builds us up together as a community. I'm not reading this. You're not reading this. We're reading this together. And as Rabbi Nathan likes to say, all together yet at the same time, yet not all together. So we get to then share what we've seen in the portion, and it informs our conversation during the week. We've gotten phone calls from somebody saying, did you read that? What do you think about that? And you know, the story of Phineas is one of those passages that can cause somebody to want to know. Cause them to want to know why this type of thing would be in Scripture. So back to our parsha this week, which, like I say, includes Phineas. It does tell the story of Phineas, but not the whole story. As I was playing the audio recording and I heard those extra verses, that's when the Spirit spoke to me and said, your portion is going to be about this man, Phineas. So who was Phineas? And was Phineas fabulous? Phineas was the son of Eleazar, the grandson of Aaron, who was the first high priest of Israel. Phineas himself became a prominent priest, a leader, and a righteous example to the Israelites. Israel at the time was surrounded by enemies. You know, we had been blessed by freedom from the tyranny of Pharaoh, then we'd been given the Torah, and then Bnei Israel was wandering through the wilderness as they were being prepared by Hashem to be made ready to enter the Promised Land. and to enter that promised land as a people, as a new nation. So Israel is surrounded by peoples and nations that did not share the knowledge of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. People who did not share the same cultural values as B'nai Israel. People who did not know Torah. But Israel at this point is strong, and so Balak, the Midianite king, calls on Balaam to curse Israel so that he might defeat them. But Balaam, as our parsha tells us, takes the advice of his donkey and says, no, they are blessed. You don't want to mess with them. And we get, how goodly are your tents, O Jacob. So there's many similarities between today and that time in Israel's history. We too are surrounded, but those all around us also do not share our biblical worldview that we hold. And they are quick to point out that truth is relative, so don't be such a goody-goody. While we are not yet being forced to do things, we are pressured and tempted by the world. We could say that this is true for our culture, but it is also true for us as a community at Ruach Israel. The world entices us from coming together. It stops us from meeting as a community and being a community, and it does it with things like sporting events, work schedules, concerts, all kinds of activities and gatherings that compete with our communal gatherings. It's a real temptation for both kids and adults. It can be costly to travel to come together like this. You know, there was a time when communities all lived within a mile of the synagogue, and there was pretty good reason for that. But we don't quite get to be able to do that. So this community thing can be a very difficult thing to do to accommodate a busy life. Now, back in the wilderness, B'nai Israel was unable to be defeated by force, but in our parsha, they are subdued by worldly temptation. Perhaps at first, they took just small steps towards simple carnal pleasures. But only outside the camp, with those perfectly willing Midianite women, did they really begin to succumb. And you know, outside the camp can't be as bad and inappropriate as being with a nice Jewish girl. But sin likes to grow, bigger and bigger. It doesn't want to stay the small sin. So sin wanted to come right into the camp as close to the tent of meeting as it could get. And in time, an Israeli leader did just that. He brought his sin, he brought a Midianite woman into the camp with him in front of everyone. Now, he had no concern for who would see this. Moses was watching. No regard for the things that he would have been ashamed to have done just a little bit earlier. So when we ignore our conscience, we become emboldened in much the same way. We become hardened to the ruach, and sin becomes a little bit easier for us to handle. Things that we knew to be an insult to Hashem, we now wonder, was it ever really wrong at all? Well, God didn't change. We are. By the way, the world loves to agree that we were just interpreting things wrongly. Too harsh. Today, there are theologians that look at the story of Phineas and tell us that the immoral behavior between the men of Israel and the Midianite women were not wrong. The real sin, they say, was bringing these foreigners into the camp near the tent of meeting. That's the sin that caused them to be punished. In every age, there are those who are ready to interpret scripture for man's pleasure rather than to know the divine purpose. To interpret it simply to do what is right in their own eyes. Now, just like in our times, that was happening in the wilderness. But enter our hero, Phineas. Fabulous Phineas. Phineas was a man of action. Now, do we know what he did? Some do, some might not. Phineas took a spear when this man brought a Midianite woman into the camp and followed him right into his tent and threw the spear right through the Israeli man into the Midianite woman, killing them both. So that stopped the ever-increasing sin of the Israelites by killing the most egregious sinner. And our parsha tells us how the wrath of Hashem was being poured out on Bnei Yisrael because of the acts of some. So Phineas acted. He killed two people. And because he did this, the plague stopped. It was stopped by Hashem. Now, there was no vaccine needed for this plague. Men didn't even know that there was any kind of a solution for a medical issue besides a miracle from God. But still, one injection of one spear into two people and the plague was done. Many lives were saved, two were killed. Looks like a pretty good trade-off, right? Does this make Phineas a hero? Well, he rose up to save the day. Certainly by Hollywood standards, this is a hero and a pretty good story that we need to tell. We're going to need prime directors, A-list actors. And yet with all the Bible stories that have been turned into movies, I don't think anyone has done the story of Phineas. But if Phineas is a hero, who is he a hero to? Certainly not the Midianites. Phineas ruined their day. They thought they had snatched victory from Hashem by tempting the Israelites away from him, by taking this blessed people and pulling them away from their God that provided them their special protection. Phineas went on to be one of the leaders that almost wiped the Midianites off the face of the earth. And in doing so, he enriched Bnei Israel with great wealth, including thousands of animals, much gold, silver, much more. The story goes on, and it's covered in Bamidbar 31 as well. Over the millennia, the world has not considered Phineas a hero. They don't like his killing. What they see is two consenting adults that were only doing what helps them to feel good about themselves. You know, it's all just the perspective that we bring. And then there is the killing of all those men. Most of the women, the boys, and even how they saved the young girls. And these... So the world looks at this and they just can't see a moral or an ethical explanation for what Phineas and others did. Now, lucky for Phineas, most of the blame for the killings of the Midianite people and what goes on, that gets blamed on Moses. Phineas really ends up taking the rap just for the two people that he killed. Now, Phineas certainly would have been a hero to his fellow Israelites in that day. His actions stopped the plague and then eliminated the Midianite threat, as well as sent a message to all the other peoples in the area, hey, be careful of these people and their God. Plus, everybody got some of the wealth, it says. It trickled down from the top. But what about us? Is Phineas a hero for us today? Is Phineas a hero for all the centuries and all the people of God since the day of Moses? Did we get any of the wealth from the spoils of victory over the Midianites? No. Somewhere over the years, our ancestors spent all that. So like most of Israel through the millennia, we didn't benefit financially. And when did a Midianite ever threaten any of us? So Phineas being our hero, that's a stretch. Well, the story of Phineas is given to us in Torah, and our sages tell us that every story, every phrase, even every word of Torah is of the greatest value. So we know there must be a lesson of great meaning in the story of Phineas. But then again, not everyone in Torah is a hero. I don't want to pick on Pharaoh, but when you need an example of someone in Torah who is not a hero, he's on top of the list. Jews may be forgiving, but we have a long memory, and we're commanded to do both, forgive and remember. So is Phineas a hero for us? Is Phineas a hero for me? Is he a hero for you? Well, I think the answer in Scripture is not only that Phineas is a hero for every Jew, even for every disciple of Yeshua, but that he is fabulous. Phineas is not just Phineas, but fabulous Phineas, and not because of what he did. Men don't agree on if what Phineas did was good or bad. It is in dispute. But Hashem clearly expressed that it was good in Torah. Now count me in the camp that says Phineas' actions were good. Scripture says it was. I don't need any other reason beyond the word of God. But that's, again, not why Phineas is fabulous. What I see in the Parsha that we all want to learn from is actually in the first line of next week's Parsha, Pinchas. But I think we can look at it this week because it's still the story of what Phineas did. So these are the lines that I read because of the Daily Devar. From Bamidbar, Numbers, starting in verse 10. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, Phineas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the Kohen, has turned away my anger from Bnei Yisrael, because he was very zealous for me among them, so that I did not put an end to Bnei Yisrael in my zeal. So now say, see, I am making with him a covenant of shalom. It will be for him and his descendants, after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for God and atoned for Bnei Yisrael. Because he was very zealous for me, says the Lord of all creation. Hashem says what Phineas did will be counted to him and his descendants forever. Baruch Hashem. Now, I don't think I'm from that tribe. I don't think I'm one of Phineas's literal descendants. But Torah doesn't tell us if the Ruach HaKodesh told Phineas what to do in the moment. We don't get any insight into something like that. What we do know is why Phineas acted. He acted not out of a sense of morality, but out of zealousness for Hashem. Well, I want to be like Phineas. The next time I'm tempted to fix the world around me, and we all know that whatever you think of the world today, it needs much correction. I don't want to be motivated by my experience, my common sense, my understanding, my opinion, or the good or the right. I want not to ignore those things, because all those things are gifts from God. But that is not where we start. We start with Him. Not because it is in our nature to think of God first, it isn't. We have to learn, we have to practice disciplines and be guided by others. Now, I want to start with a zealousness for Hashem that I learned from Phineas. A zealousness that made Phineas my hero and truly a hero to all of us. In his example to us of zeal for Hashem, that makes him worthy to be called fabulous Phineas. So, seek always to have the zeal for the creator of the universe that we learn from Torah. Let it be the starting point for everything that you do. Then, with that zeal, go and serve our King. Shabbat Shalom.